Imagine knowing everything, not just, you know, what happened yesterday, but what will happen tomorrow, next year, forever. It just doesn't pose a barrier to knowledge.
It's a huge concept. Really challenges how we think about cause and effect,
right.
Choices, free will even.
Exactly. And that massive idea, God's foreknowledge, that's what we're tackling today. Welcome to the deep dive. We've got a stack of sources here, mostly key biblical texts, you know, Acts, Romans, 1 Peter, Isaiah, Matthew, plus some really helpful commentaries.
And our mission really is to sift through these and pull out the core ideas for you. We want to understand what foreknowledge actually means in this divine context.
Yeah, how far does it go? Who has it? And what does it all mean for those big questions like free will and God's overall plan?
It's going to be fascinating. There's some perhaps surprising details in here.
Okay, let's dive in then. The sources, they start pretty strong on this idea of God's foreknowledge. What's the initial picture we get?
Well, the main point right off the bat is that God knows things in advance. And not just vaguely, but with incredible detail.
Okay, detail. Like what?
Well, Acts 2.23 is a powerful example. It says, Jesus was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God.
Mm.
That's prognosis in the Greek. But then it adds, it was wicked hands that crucified him.
Ah, okay. So God knew it, planned it in some way, but humans still acted wickedly.
Precisely. It sets up that tension immediately. Divine knowledge, human action, they coexist.
So it's not just predicting, it's tied into a purpose, a plan.
Mm.
Are there other texts that build on that?
Definitely. Romans 8.29 says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. You see that link? Foreknowledge and predestination.
Mm-hmm.
And then 1 Peter 1.2 talks about being elect according to the foreknowledge. Again, prognosis of God the Father. It's presented as something really foundational.
Foundational and vast, it sounds like. Does this foreknowledge really cover everything? Is anything outside of it?
The sources suggest no. Acts 15.10.8 puts it plainly. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world.
From the beginning? Wow.
And Isaiah 46.10 has God declaring the end from the beginning. My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. It's this image of complete oversight, seeing the whole timeline at once.
Right, the whole picture.
Man.
Now, is this kind of all-encompassing view unique to God the Father? Or do others share in this?
Ah, that's a key point. The sources are very emphatic here. Isaiah 44, for example, has God saying he's the first and the last, and there's no God beside me. He challenges anyone else to declare things from the beginning like he does.
Okay, so uniqueness is stressed.
Very much so. Isaiah 45 reinforces it. There is no God else beside me. And 1 Kings 8 says, there is no God like thee in heaven above or on earth beneath. This kind of comprehensive beginning-to-end foreknowledge seems to be presented as distinctly the Father's.
Okay, this is where it gets, well, really interesting for me. Because even with this vast foreknowledge established, the sources bring up a specific point. Something about a particular day and hour. What's going on there?
Yes, this is a crucial nuance. Matthew 24.36 and Mark 13.32 both record Jesus saying that of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only.
But my Father only. And Mark even adds.
Mark 13.32 explicitly includes neither the Son.
Right, neither the Son. Okay, that sounds, it sounds like a direct contradiction to the Son having complete divine knowledge, doesn't it? How do the commentaries handle that?
They tackle it head on. The explanation offered is quite careful. It suggests it's not necessarily about a lack of knowing on Christ's part, but a lack of authority or permission to reveal it.
Ah, okay. So knowing versus revealing.
Exactly. One commentary puts it like this. Christ plainly said that he himself could not make known the day or the hour. It argues if he could have revealed it, why urge constant expectancy?
That makes sense. You wouldn't need to be watchful if you just knew the date, but we are told to watch to know when it's near.
Right. So the focus shifts from Christ's internal knowledge to what he was commissioned to communicate. It's a limitation on revelation.
That's a subtle but really important distinction. Does this idea of, let's say, a hierarchy of revelation or maybe certain knowledge being held primarily by the Father show up elsewhere?
It does seem to. Zechariah 6 asks, sort of rhetorically, why would the Father ask the Son to be in the councils with him if the Son already knew all? Implying a sharing, a revealing.
Mm-hmm.
And Revelation 1.1 starts, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. Again, that idea of knowledge being imparted from the Father. Daniel 2.28 also highlights, there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets.
Secrets revealed by the Father. And there's that story, isn't there, in one of the sources about Satan in heaven wanting to understand God's plans? How does that fit?
That's incredibly relevant here. This source describes Satan being unhappy that Christ was preferred and basically demanding. demanding to be led into the Father's inner circle to understand his purposes.
Wow.
And God's response, he tells Satan that to his son alone he would reveal his secret purposes.
Son alone.
Yes. It strongly reinforces this idea that the ultimate unrevealed plans, the deepest secrets, originate with the Father and are shared by him, specifically with the Son, according to his own will.
Okay, so we have this picture. Immense detailed foreknowledge primarily and ultimately held by the Father, with some aspects like secret purposes or specific timings revealed at his discretion, even to the Son. But what about us? Where does human choice fit in? If God knows what I'm going to do tomorrow, do I actually choose it?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? And the sources absolutely grapple with it. Let's go back to Acts 2.23 again. Jesus delivered by God's foreknowledge.
Right.
But crucified by wicked hands.
Yeah.
Human agency, human responsibility isn't erased by God's knowing. Both are stated as true.
So God knowing doesn't force the outcome. His knowledge isn't like a puppet master string.
That seems to be exactly the point. There's a commentary from 1900 that puts it very clearly. It says essentially that prophecies which stem from foreknowledge don't shape the character of the people who fulfill them.
Okay. How does it explain it then?
It says people act out their own free will. Their character might be influenced by God or by Satan, but the action comes from their will. God's knowledge foresees the choice. It doesn't compel it.
That is a huge relief, actually. It means foreknowledge and free will aren't mutually exclusive. God knows the choice we will make freely.
That's the understanding presented. Now, this knowing, does it go deeper than just actions? What about, say, the heart? Our inner thoughts and intentions.
Yeah. Does God foreknow those too?
Well, 1 Kings 8.39 is pretty direct. God, thou, even thou only, knowest the hearts of all the children of men. It emphasizes the Father's unique, inherent knowledge of the heart.
Only the Father knows the hearts.
It says, thou only knowest. But then, interestingly, Revelation 2.23 quotes Christ saying he searcheth the reins and hearts. The Greek word there, searcheth, implies investigation, seeking out.
Ah, so it's maybe a different kind of knowing.
Exactly. The commentary we looked at picks up on this. It clarifies the Bible doesn't say that Christ is the only one that knows the hearts, but that he can read hearts. How? By searching.
So, the Father has this immediate, unique knowledge, maybe inherent to his nature, while Christ actively investigates, discerns hearts.
That seems to be the distinction drawn. A difference in the mode or perhaps nature of knowing the heart. Both know, but perhaps not in the identical way.
Okay, pulling all this together, God's deep ancient foreknowledge, the plan, the role of Christ, our free will within it. What's the ultimate point? What's the grand purpose driving all of this?
It seems to point towards the redemption plan and the ultimate exaltation of Christ. Think way back to Genesis coming to. Abraham is told to sacrifice Isaac, and Isaac asks where the lamb is.
Right, and Abraham says,
my son, God will provide himself a lamb. It's this incredible foreshadowing, born from God's foreknowledge of the ultimate sacrifice he would make.
A promise rooted in what God already knew he would do. And the sources connect that directly to Jesus.
Absolutely. 1 Peter 1 tells us, Christ was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Foreordained, chosen and appointed in eternity past. Based on this foreknowledge.
So the plan for Christ wasn't a reaction, it was the original design.
Exactly. And this foreordination, this plan, leads to his ultimate glory. Philippians 2 is key here.
Tell us.
It says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
To the glory of God the Father.
Yes. And that directly echoes Isaiah 45. Where God himself swears that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. It's the fulfillment of God's unbreakable counsel, his pleasure, as Isaiah 46 puts it.
So the foreknowledge isn't just passive awareness. It's the guarantee that God's ultimate purpose, centered on Christ's exaltation and lordship, will come to pass.
Precisely. It underpins the certainty of it all. Colossians 1 adds that it pleased the Father that in him his Son should all fullness dwell. It was the Father's deliberate choice, his plan.
And Hebrews 6 mentions God swearing by himself.
Right, because he can swear by no greater. It just emphasizes the absolute, unshakable certainty of this foreknown, foreordained plan.
Wow. Okay, that was definitely a deep dive. We've seen God's foreknowledge as this incredibly comprehensive, detailed view of everything from start to finish.
Yeah, covering all his works. But we also explored those really interesting nuances, like the Father holding the ultimate secrets, the day and hour, and how Christ's revealing work fits into that.
And crucially, that none of this cancels out our own free will. God's knowledge doesn't force our hand, it foresees our free choices.
It's a picture of an absolutely certain, meticulously planned divine purpose, but one that remarkably operates alongside and incorporates genuine human freedom.
So, thinking about all this, if God's knowledge is so complete, his plan so sure, maybe the question for you isn't trying to guess the specific unknowns of your future. Perhaps the real question is, knowing this divine certainty exists, how does that change how you approach your choices, your actions, your focus right now, today? What can you do within that larger known plan?
For more information regarding spiritual truths about God, the Bible, and your salvation, visit revelationwithdaniel.com.